Thank you very much, Sister Rekha. You carried us in the bullet train. I hope we are shipping along, but we need time to go back and digest. And, you know, all of them, 6 points are very relevant. Don't you agree? Yes. But as far as Sister Rekha, today, maybe we cannot ship so fast as her, but we need more time. However, any of you have any question, further question to ask Sister? We still have 50 minutes.
Sister Rekha, I would like you to give us a connection between the servant leadership of Jesus and the new dimension that you're looking at, the same as leadership of love, friendship.
Okay, shall I respond to this, or do you have more questions connected to the same? Or yes,
thank you very much for your wonderful, excellent presentation. Since we all of us are coming from Asia, and each culture has its specific characteristics, and we have been talking about enculturation. But we are very much aware that very often we have to go beyond our cultures. And so how can we do this in a Jesus way? We can talk about many sort of topics like women, for example. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Sister Rekha, for your very deep and profound reflections. We are very much challenged and stimulated. But I would like to ask for one practical question. As you have rightly said, following Christ means becoming the part of the world of Jesus. In our place, in our world, in our time, in our culture. All that we are concerned here is about how to renew our formation and ongoing formation. Could you, from your experience, suggest at least one or two practical ways that we can carry back home and help the youth of our communities? Thank you.
Okay. Maybe I could take up these three questions and then continue with the other questions that you may have. Okay, number one, the relationship between the servant model of leadership and this friendship model of relationship. Very often we use John chapter 13 to explain our servant model of leadership, and of course from the synoptic traditions, I am here to serve, not to be served. And Jesus was really a servant. Jesus was assuming the role of a slave in his ministry. That is one model. But there is also another model which we are not so familiar with in the teachings of Jesus. And I am falling back again to the Gospel of John. Because when we read John chapter 13, and when we look at the symbol of the washing of the feet, the same event or the symbol can be looked at from different perspectives. How do we understand the symbolic action of Jesus in John chapter 13? And I'm going to use an insight that I have received from my dear friend Sandra Schneiders when she gave a talk on John chapter 13, looking at the symbol of the foot washing event. She said, let us reflect on our experiences of service in terms of the dynamics of relationship that is taking place when I serve someone, when I am served by somebody. And if if we go back to our daily experiences, we can think of this service from three different perspectives. Number one, the rich serving the poor. The rich have the resources and serving the poor. Number two, the poor serving the rich for their existence. Okay, let us look at these two models. When we look at the first model, the poor serving the rich, the poor will have to depend on the rich for their survival. And if you look at the dynamics that is going on in terms of their relationship, it is that of dependence, domination and inequality that is being perpetuated in and through this service rendered by the poor to the rich. Now, if you look at the rich serving the poor, they may be very generous, selfless, gracious. However, indirectly, we are perpetuating again a relationship of inequality, dependence and domination. Because the rich have the resources to share with the poor, and the poor to a certain extent depend on the rich. But when we look at friends, dependence, inequality and domination are foreign to a genuine friendship relationship. In a friendship relationship, the service rendered to my friend would be an expression of my selfless love for him or for her. And my service evokes reciprocity. It expects nothing in return, but it evokes reciprocity and interdependence. And at the end of this foot washing event in John chapter 13, Jesus did not tell the disciples, "Now you go and wash the feet of your disciples." Jesus did not say. But Jesus said, "You go and wash the feet of one another." There is a big difference between that, these two. Inviting the disciples to go and wash the feet of their disciples, and telling the disciples to, "You go and wash the feet of one another." Therefore, the invitation of Jesus is to understand leadership as service rendered among friends, as equal partners, because according to the Johannine spirituality, we are all branches. And Jesus was the olive vine. And branches, there is no comparison. Each branch is an equal partner in the tree. However, there is one difference that we can make. Depends on the fruit that each branch is producing. But as branches, we are all equal. And therefore, when Jesus said, "I don't call you anymore servants, but I call you friends," Jesus was eradicating the natural inequality that existed between Jesus, our master, and the disciples, and elevating the disciples as Jesus' friends. And we are called to be the friends of Jesus. "I call you friends. However, there is one condition. If you keep my commandments." In other words, if we remain faithful to the covenant promises of God, if we remain faithful to God's mission, if we remain faithful to participate in the ongoing mission of God, which is the creative work of God, the liberative mission of God, and the reconciling work of God, the project of God here on earth, we can remain as friends of God. And we are called to be friends of God. And I want to highlight this friendship model of leadership precisely because of that. We women religious, we are called to be the friends of God, and we are called to be sisters in the communities. And as sisters and as friends of Jesus, we are all equals. And our understanding of leadership is, it's like a moment. In one moment, I'm called to lead this group forward. When I finish my mission, I turn backward and allow other people to move forward, to lead the group forward as friends, as sisters, as equal partners in accomplishing God's mission. Therefore, there is an intimate link between servant model of leadership and friendship model of leadership. They are, I would say the link would be a dialectic relationship. One leads to the other. In the friendship model of leadership, the service would become an expression of my unconditional selfless love for the well-being of the members of my community. Because even in this service model of leadership, they can have indirectly implicit unconscious inequality that we are unconsciously perpetuating. Okay, that is in brief. Number two and three. Perhaps since we are with this leadership, I would talk about formation first and then come to the second question concerning enculturation. Actually, I have been in formation in the sense like, let me put it in this way. I took charge of the juniors of the Indian province of the Religious of the Assumption 2 months ago. And all my experience that I have as a formator is these 2 months. But what I did and what I dream and what is my experience is this. One of the things I said, in this house, I tried to apply this friendship model of leadership in our relationship between the juniors and the formation team. And it is not without risk, but we need to dare to take risk. And not daring to take risk would be the biggest risk, danger that we can have. So one thing what I did was, concrete thing that I did was, I said, we are all friends, we are all sisters. I am here for you. You are here for me. We are here for God's mission. So I said, number one, freedom, an atmosphere of freedom in the community. Freedom with responsibility. Freedom with transparency and honesty. Creating enough space for each junior sister to realize, to rediscover who she is and what her mission is in the history of salvation. I tell them, because I go back to the biblical tradition again, going back to the understanding of the creation story, that we are created in God's image and likeness. Or we are called by God. What does it really mean when we are created in God's image and likeness? It really means that in each one of us, there is a unique, unrepeatable image of God in us. If I don't discover that unique, unrepeatable image of God in me, when we look at the whole creation, there will be an empty space. There will be an empty space because no one can replace me in the world, and I cannot replace anybody else in this world. In other words, each junior sister is a unique person having a unique mission, unique image of God, and I really want her to discover who she is and what her mission is in the world. So freedom to make mistake. Freedom to make mistake. I tell them making mistakes is perfectly all right. If you don't make mistake, there is something wrong with you. And I think it works wonders. What I experience is the juniors, they are free to share their experiences, and I don't perceive the sense of fear in them. I see more and more fearless, open, transparent, simple human beings. And I think real formation takes place in an atmosphere of freedom where they can make mistake. One practical suggestion. There are many, perhaps I stop there. Coming back to this third question, going beyond our cultures. I think today we need to keep in mind two things when we think of cultures. One thing, we need to remain deeply rooted in our true culture and true identity as Asians, on the one hand. On the other hand, we need to make our Asian culture relevant for the fast-changing world today. In other words, there should be an intimate dialectical relationship between being deeply rooted and being relevant. What does it really mean? Today we really cannot talk about inward-looking communities, because our experience of our contemporary experience of the 21st century is transcending boundaries. Before, perhaps 30 years ago, we were all inward-looking communities. We felt the need to be inculturated into our communities, which is very important, and we need to continue to do that. Yet, we cannot remain inward-looking communities today, because the world today is transcending boundaries. And as I remember very well in our sharings, our communities are becoming more and more international, more and more multicultural, more and more multi-religious, wherever we go. My experience of traveling, perhaps during the last 9 years, traveling to more than 15 countries, wherever I went, I found intercultural, interreligious, international communities. So I was wondering whether I live in India, whether I live in Washington DC, whether I'm in Bangkok or Manila or in Israel, I have the presence of an international community. And it is really a gift, and at the same time it is also a task. Gift and as well as task. It is a gift because diversity is always wonderful, enriching. But it is a task to create unity in diversity, to experience harmony, to experience that communion and oneness. Therefore, I think today we need to look at inculturation as an inward-looking experience on the one hand, and outward-looking, transcending boundaries of our own cultures as on the other hand. Now, where to strike the balance, and I think that differs from place to place and person to person. And I think that is what we used to, when we used to talk about Christianization, or we used to talk about Christianization of cultures or Hinduization of cultures or Islamization of cultures. In other words, each religion, each tradition has something to contribute to the cultures, and each culture has something to contribute to our religious traditions. We need to learn from one another. Okay, any other questions? Thank you very much.